welcome everyone to September's edition of the Pitching In NPL show, and you join us back where it all began. We're at the Magnet in Stockport, and joining me round the table up in the rafters at the Magnet, we're joined once again by Mr. James Hayes.
Evening, it's great to be back.
Berkey's here, everyone.
Hi, Ben.
Simo's here.
It's a beautiful thing.
And making his return in person from the European Union, he's here. Welcome back. Swampy's here, everyone.
Well, thank you very much. It's very nice to be here. And wow, hasn't this country changed?
Well, we're back here at the Magnet. A big thank you to our host, Leslie. Big thank you. Swampy, just before we crack on with the show proper, let's give a big plug to the Magnet, because it's not too far from Edgeley Park, if you don't mind walking up a hill. It's a nice pub, isn't it? Where are we?
Well, this is 2020 Pub of the Year, with about 16 cask ales on, about 8 key keg beers on, very reasonably priced. And they do a fine pork pie if you are a person who likes to eat animals.
Yeah, I do, and the Littlewoods pies.
Yeah, pork pies freely available here with mustard.
No, no, they cost £2.50.
Pork pies available here mustard. With mustard. The mustard is free.
Yes. And inclusive.
And lovely cask ales. Right, let's. We're here for September's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Before we crack on with the league, I'd just like to talk about the FA Cup, if I may, because there's been some seismic results over the past week or so. A big congratulations as you've made it through to the next round, the fourth qualifying round. Just to say, as we record this on Wednesday, the results I'm thinking of are the ones in the replays on Tuesday. Marine beating Atherton Cole 3-2, phenomenal, after extra time.
Sound like a great game, that.
Marsh United beating Chester at the Diva Stadium by 4-0. I mean, that's...
I don't think anyone expected that result. I think Marsh could have sneaked it 1-2, but not. I don't think anyone was expecting a 4, especially from being taken into a replay in the first place.
Well, I thought the best chance had gone.
Mm. Yeah.
It sounded, from John Hall's interview, it sounds like Chester were completely and utterly eviscerated on the night, and fair play to Mask, and fingers crossed they can go and do the business and get through to the first round. It'd be absolutely fantastic if they did.
Well, the thing about Mask is also that they're beating some big scouts, South Shields, and as we all know, within this division, that is the benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
And they've not beaten them, they've beaten them convincingly, and equally, last night, to get a 4-0 victory in a replay away from home is absolutely magnificent.
Mask, in particular, but there's also plenty of teams, well, certainly by the time the end of the season you'll be able to see it, but top six sides in this division won't have any problem whatsoever in the conference, in the National League North. But we see this time and time again, teams going up, doing really well and going straight through.
But you're going to go on to another team in Marine who have done absolutely phenomenally well. Because who would have thought, from last season's exploits, it is absolutely incredible. There's something about that. Neil Younger's got something in the FA Cup that, is absolutely outstanding. So, good luck to them.
Not to give too much away, we have got the four qualifying round preview in a couple of weeks' time, but it's a tough ask to get teams through to the first round, isn't it? These are not the best of ties. Marine have got Wrexham, but it is at home, so you never know. Marsh United have got Gateshead. Pontefract Coles, who made it through, they've got Halifax, Stockport County, where we are, taking on Stamford. York City taking on Morpeth Town, and Kettering taking on Buxton. We've got a chance of a couple, I think.
Yeah, I was just pointing out, Marsh last year as well made the fourth qualifying round, and it's worth pointing out as well, Stamford making the fourth round of the FA Trophy. So it's three sides there that have got cup pedigree from last year when there was no fans. Let's not forget that. Obviously, no replays, nothing like that. Marine, this most of last season, had to go through penalty shootouts and extra time in most of the ties too. So, Marine are a lot stronger.
Should probably shout out to Coles as well for their part in that cup tie. It was the last kick of extra time from the penalty that settled it. So Coles have pushed them all away.
It's a strange one, though, isn't it? How you get teams who, for some reason, they just gel with the cup competitions for a few seasons. Stourbridge did it. Nantwich did it. And Hyde United, back in the early 90s, got to the semi-final of the FA Trophy twice on the trot. It's just absolutely
It's addictive,
bizarre.
Though, isn't it? Getting a good cup run.
I wouldn't know.
But anyway, just to say, we will have a fixture preview. You probably, it seems... We might. I'm booking you in a couple of weeks' time for the weekly show. For the FA Trophy, that was mentioned moments ago, wasn't it, by yourself, I think?
Yeah.
On the Step 4 show, out on Friday, we've got loads of clubs who are involved in the FA Trophy this weekend. But let's ignore the cup competitions now and move on to the league, the bread and butter, as it were, and the pitching in NPL, Northern Premier League, Premier Division. Lots of Northern in there, lots of Premier, lots of league.
Very Northern.
13 games in, Matlock Town, 3 points clear, up at the top. I'll come to you first, Simo. Matlock Town beating Mickleover last night.
Matlock's a touchy subject for me.
How big was this thing on Tuesday where South Shields were beaten by Bamber Bridge and Matlock won and now have got a 3 point gap? I know it is early days, but it's great
for Matlock. I mean, they'll be really pleased that they responded to an unexpected defeat at Stafford a couple of weeks ago, because they've won every game since then, albeit narrowly, but they've kept this run going. I think I would read more, maybe a little bit more, into what happened at Bamber Bridge, one of the results of the season. A reminder, even though we've kind of coronated South Shields several times already this season, and I still think they're overwhelming favourites, by the way, but just a reminder that they won't have it all their own way this season. They've not scored for two games, South Shields.
We said on the preview last week, didn't we? They're not totally infallible, are they? They've shown little...
The benefit they do have is if they have got wrinkles or problems, Graham Fenton has got a lot longer on the training field to sort them out, which all of his peers don't have. Matlock, I think they can stay the course, you know. My only concern for them is they seem to still have a very tiny squad. Philo's mentioned that a few times after games in the past couple of weeks, and that would concern me if they were to pick up a couple of injuries. Obviously, lost a couple of lads to Warrington Rylands as well in the last couple of weeks.
They have got plenty of experience on that bench at Matlock. Ross Hannah, Liam King.
Kate Coppin.
Yeah. Adam Yates come back.
Yeah, I mean...
Was he really?
Yeah. It's going well, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, Simo said a moment ago that it's great for Matlock, but this is great for the league. We don't want South Shields just to be ruling the roost and running away with it by 10, 15, 20 points. Although I do, because it'd mean I was right at the start of the season, so I don't really mind. But Matlock aren't doing it, the Witten game aside, they're not really doing this easily. They're not trouncing sides. The last three games have been 1-0 wins, 7 out of the 11 games that they've won.
So I've got Josh Graham in here. That's what wins leagues.
Absolutely. It really does. They've won 7 out of the 11 games that they've won by one goal. Again, it's like with Atherton Coles. They've got the team spirit, but they've also got the know-how there as well. They've got the quality of players that can compete at the top end of the division, where Coles, best will in the world, they've got the best team spirit in the division by a mile. But they don't quite have that quality to keep them up at the top end of the table. It's going to be a very, very interesting month this, especially with South Shields, because they've got to play Matlock on the 16th and the following week. They've got Buxton at home. So, huge month coming up.
Just to say, away from the top two, it's a pretty big gap now between second and third being Buxton. 7 points?
Yeah, but Buxton have got two games in hand.
I know, but it's still a lot, though, at this point of the season, isn't it?
No, because Buxton have got two games in hand.
It's still a lot, though, at this stage of the season. All right, take out let's have Bamber Bridge in the mix.
Can I take credit for Buxton's week, by the way? Cause
yes.
Say in the FA Cup preview that did lack a bit of a killer instinct and they have scored 10 goals in two games since
You're
then.
You're welcome, Gary. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I think Diego owes you some money.
Yeah, but they have got plenty of firepower, though, haven't they? They've got Jamie Ward, Diego, banging them in, Tom Elliott. You know, they're a good team. It's just that it's taken maybe a little bit of time for the
The only team left in the league are unbeaten, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're absolutely nails to beat. And all they have to do is convert the away draws. They've drawn 4 out of 6 away. And if they can turn them into 3 points most of the time...
I wouldn't rule them out just
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, exactly. You're dead right, Simon.
Bamber Bridge. Is this one of the stories of the season thus far? I mean, Jamie Milligan's just signed a contract extension at the club as well. Well deserved.
I think you look at Bamber Bridge. I think they came to FC, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and you saw the quality that they had. And they play lovely football. And, you know, what Bamber Bridge have is the fact they've got a nice core of players, but they've also been able to have a long season loan of 3 or 4, maybe 5 really good quality, and I believe they are great quality players from Blackpool that have really challenged that team superbly well. I mean, FC against them, it was a great game of football, and they were absolutely top draw, and I really enjoyed the game. If they carry on what they're doing, and Jamie brings in maybe a couple of other players as well, which he can quite capable of,
well,
quite capable of doing.
One big player just brought in today, which is Nathan Pond from Fleetwood.
Yeah, so. And
literally.
Yeah,
big player.
And, yeah, I mean, easy, yeah. Big unit, good player. But they play good football.
Let's talk about Whitby Town. They've obviously had the York Cup match, which you could say, oh, that's they've taken their eye off the ball for that one. But it's two straight defeats now. Two straight league defeats now after Tuesday night's 4-1 defeat against Buxton.
That's the first sign they've been turned over, though.
Yeah,
this season, isn't it? You know, to be fair, but they've scored fewest goals in the top half of the table. They've scored 9 less than the next side in the playoffs.
And how many? How many's Hazel got of the 13 as well?
Exactly. Yeah, it's not even like they're over reliant on him, because even he's not got that many. I mean, what is it? 6, 7?
I'll tell you: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 goals, including cup matches.
Including cup matches, yeah, there you are, all right.
Shocked to see they'd only scored 13 goals. I mean, and still be fifth.
Yeah.
It shows how, we already know this, how solid they are. And this is their first test of the season, really, so we're going to find out a little bit more about them. They're playing Witten on Saturday, and they've got an absolutely horrendous home record against Witten. So I'm hoping it gets worse before it gets better.
Here's something interesting. As a result of Whitby just letting the foot off the accelerator slightly over the last week or so, Stalybridge Celtic, who put their foot on the accelerator in the last week or so, are now 1 point off the playoffs.
And
we now cross over to our Tameside reporter, Burke.
I think
Simon Howarth has just sat down and has got up some popcorn ready. Off you go.
They've won 5 out of the last 6. It's come from absolutely nowhere. The fans at Bowerfold, they were fuming. They had a run of awful results at the start of the season. But it weren't just the results. It was the whole play, the matches.
Wasn't there an issue, though, the fact that they were playing?
They had a tough fixture list.
Yeah. They had a pretty tough fixture list, but the performances just weren't there. However, he made some inspired signings. The headliner, I suppose, is Marcus Dakers, who came in from Salford. Only a 1 month loan, and I expect they're going to want to extend that because he scored 5 goals in the last few games. Well, then you've got Jake Burton as well, on loan from Tranmere.
Don't forget Scott McCaw.
Yeah, but he's not on loan, is he?
You know? No.
Scott McCaw, just to make Simo squirm, of course. But Justin Johnson as well, he started motoring as well. Sam Wedgbury, he's got into his stride. Keenan Quanser as well, who's been around this division below for donkey's years now. Well, I say donkey's years, a few years now. I'm making him sound like he's about 30 odd.
It seems like his breakthrough season a little bit, really. Yeah. He's never really, even though he's featured, he's never really been one of them players you've seen or get all the talk about. Yeah. Even when I think it mostly about 4 or 5 years ago was the last time.
Yeah, well, he came to Hyde, and he never really got I didn't think he got a fair bite.
Dakers actually made his debut against FC United, and he was superb. That game galvanised them, and they've gone on. And you know that you need one game, don't you?
Yeah.
Any team that we all support, one game, all of a sudden, bang.
I think what they've done in the last, and it is 2.5-3 weeks, because I had a look this morning, they lost to Gainsborough on the 18th of September, and they were 17th in the table. 2.5 weeks later, with that run of 4 wins that they've had, they're now 6. So if you are a side, and we've seen
Basford
do that before that.
And Whitby before that.
Lots of managers, you don't necessarily need 6 or 7 game winning run at the moment. You can have a 2 or 3 game winning run. And the whole mood, which is what Berkey said, the whole mood around your club transforms. And that's what's happened to them in less than 3 weeks.
Saying that, though, there's one team who've been, it feels like they've been 7th now for ages, or 6th or 7th. It's Warrington. They've just been there. They've not moved up or down. That's quite a trick, given how
they've had some really tough games, haven't they? 3-2.
How's it a trick, though?
3-2 against Bates.
In a fluctuating league where these teams going off the boil and on the ball, left, right and centre, Warrington are just 7th.
Yeah.
That is a trick.
Is that a trick?
Yeah, it has been a difficult month for them though, Ben. They've had 3-2 defeats, consecutive ones against Baysford.
Baysford was last minute winner again.
Yeah, yeah,
fantastic
exactly.
Goal, by the way, for that one.
Well, last season, remember, the last proper season, it was Warrington doing all the late goals.
Yeah, and it was like late part of the season as well, I think. I thought they were like 6th, 7th, and then went on the run to beat South Shields in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They were pushing towards the end there.
It still feels like they're figuring stuff out. You know, they're still making signings. They've brought Sean Williams back on loan from Altrincham, and Sean Williams was brilliant for Warrington first time around. Thoroughly deserved his move to Altrincham to go and play in the National League. And they still kind of feels to me from the outside, I've not seen Warrington yet, that there's a lot of kind of like find out who fits best where and who plays well alongside who, and probably why they're not closer to the top of the table. They'll be made up to have squeezed past Ashton, because it just kind of gets them back on track.
In fairness, they have started to come out of this little injury that they had as well. So again, start of the season when we had James Gordon on, they had 15 registered, because half the squad was from the previous 2 years that were out starting the season with niggles or unable
everyone,
to play. So I know everyone had that, but against Matt, of all the sides, I'd say Warrington were one of the worst affected.
So. Well, those are the 7 teams who've made 20 points thus far, and I think that's a good point to draw a line under the show. That was part one. That gives us enough time to go downstairs, have a drink, a pork pie, if you will.
I will.
With some free mustard. But we'll be back in a second or two with part two, where we'll be discussing the teams in mid-table land. See you in a minute. Welcome back to the Magnet here in Stockport for September's edition of the Pitching and NPL show.
Sorry, Ben.
You got to take the mustard downstairs.
I've got to take the mustard.
So we're here with pork pies, drinks and some recording equipment. And let's talk about mid-table land. And for this bit of the show, I'm classing mid-table as 8th and down. All right? Stafford Rangers. It's a similar story to Stalybridge, really. Stafford have been epic, Simo.
I think they've been steady all the way through, though, to be fair to them, rather than kind of had a surge up the table. I have seen Stafford up close, and I can fully see why they have had such a good start to the season. Matt Hill's got them really well set up. They've got a very distinct identity already to how he wants them to play. You can have the aesthetics argument if you want, but it works beautifully for them. And what they've restored to their team this season, they've now got a genuine goal threat, which they haven't had for 2 years. So with Jake Charles up top, but he's got good support around him. And then reasonably solid defensively. I mean, they've got themselves in a great position. I don't know what their objectives are. I'm pretty sure their objectives would be don't get relegated. But I would imagine that the longer this goes on, those objectives are going to shift pretty quickly to, hang on, what can we maybe achieve here?
What can they achieve, Berker?
Well, you say they look reasonably solid defensively, but if you take it on a goals per game basis, they've actually got the second best defensive record in the league. They've nailed it this season. They really have, but they made themselves tough to beat. I mean, they've lost 4 games, but they've been by the odd goal, you know.
They seem to be a club that's been underperforming for several years.
Do we then have to give real credit to Matt Hill and say he's played an absolute blinder?
Absolutely, but a sad state of affairs, though, that we're going, hey, this Stafford team's pretty good. They're in 8th place, and it's the best team they've had for years. Stafford, who used to be right up there, competing in the conference, and I know it's been said umpteen times that they're the sleeping giants in non-league football, and there's more than a kernel of truth to that.
Let's talk about Baysford, because Baysford have been on a journey this season. Started off very sluggishly, injuries, which all managers have been suffering from, and then they've gone on this run, and they've got themselves into a competitive position, just 3 points outside the playoffs.
They play an expansive game. They like to play the ball on the deck. They obviously at home have the advantage of a 3-4G pitch, let's not forget, and also like to water it to play an expansive game. They like the overlap, left and right, and they've got good quality players there. And they, you know, on my first assessment of this season, obviously they played FC United last night or the night before, depending on where this goes out on, they're a decent team. And they will cause many, many teams problems. It's got a great academy there, and there's a little bit of money behind the club as well. And they'll be there or thereabouts by the end of the season.
I remember a few seasons ago when Basford came up and we were quaking. We were absolutely petrified of their front line. Stephen Moore and all that. They scored 40 goals each between them. And that seems to have dissipated now. You know, they've only scored 14 goals in 12 games. Defence is still pretty solid. No complaints there whatsoever. But the goals have vanished. And I wonder if that's going to be their... Well, it's certainly something they need to improve.
We're 11 games in, and I know we have to debate and discuss, and we're trying to do the top sport to make it bigger and thriller than it ever would be. But
speaking of which, FC United, 5 points from the playoffs burker. It's back on, isn't it?
It's on.
Oh, see, just the mustard went up my nose. Right.
That's superb.
It's not on. It's not on for FC United. And I'll tell you for why, Ben.
Oh, no. It's that bit, isn't it?
Yeah, if you remembered.
Look at the teams FC United have struggled against this season. They've struggled against Stafford, lost 3-1 at home, lost 5-2 away to Staley Bridge, lost 2-1 at home to Hyde United. I could go on, but I won't. But FC struggle. Oh, they lost against Matlock. That's very important. They struggle against teams who play a direct type of football. Hyde have changed a bit now with Jim Gannon coming in, but at the time, Hyde were playing a more direct brand of football. And it works against FC United. The evidence is there. If you want to go toe-to-toe with FC, if you want to have a game of football with them, they'll beat you, or at least draw, as they've done with Buxton away and as they've done with South Shields away. Went to Basford last night, got a great result, 1-0 win. But against the teams who are a little bit more rudimentary in their style of play, they really struggle to defend against it. I don't know why that is, but there was a great interview that you did with...
Thanks.
You did a great interview with Renault after the Staley Bridge game. And Swampy put the question, have you only got plan A? Can you change things up a bit? So I don't want to change things up. This is how I play football, and it's a laudable approach. He wants to play football the way he feels football should be played. He wants to play beautiful, expansive football. But if you can't change those aesthetics to match who you're up against, then you're not going to win as many football games as you want to. You need to be adaptable. And I think that's where FC's Achilles heel is. They're playing Grantham in a couple of weeks. Grantham are probably the most direct team I've seen in this division for a very, very long time. I think Grantham are going to get something from that FC game. They might even nick a win.
Lancaster City is kind of like just...
It's tailed off big time.
Is it to do with Fishburne?
Well, losing Sam Fishburne because he was recalled by Carlisle because he'd done so brilliantly for Lancaster has presented them with a problem of now finding the goals to replace the ones that he was... scoring freely. They've only won one of the past eight league games. Six of them have been defeats. So this is a funk that they do need to get out of. And one of their kind of bankers is they're both normally very solid defensively, and that seems to have been eroded a little bit as well in the past few weeks. So it was illuminating to listen to Mark Fell talk after the game on Tuesday, and very open about the fact that he's got some quite serious problems to fix. Otherwise, they're going to keep sliding down the table.
Just to say about goal scoring. When you look at the teams below Lancaster City, a bit short on goals, aren't they? Scarborough Athletic, Gainsborough, Nantwich, Atherton, Coles, they're all on single digits for goals scored, which is...
Well, Scarborough got 11. I don't know where you're...
Sorry. Yeah. it's a small double-digit number, though, isn't it, 11? That's what they say about 11, isn't it?
In mathematical
circles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Ben, how many games have you played?
11.
So it's...
I'm sorry, yeah, Scarborough played 11, Coles played 9.
They've scored a goal a game.
Scarborough, they're a team in transition. They've got some great individual players there. You've got Kieran Willedgy, you've got Kieran Glynn, of course, who's outstanding on his day. Ryan Watson, who anchors everything in midfield. And Nathan Cartman, of course, captain of the club now. But there are gaps. You know, John O'Green, he knows this isn't the finished article with Scarborough. I think... they're more going to have an assault on the top six next season, to be honest, rather than this one. If they'll be mid-table come the end of it.
I mentioned Gainsborough Trinity in that list of teams who haven't scored that many goals, but That's not the full story about Gainsborough Trinity. They're kind of...
That they're even mid-table at all.
Yeah,
great,
but they're kind of moving, aren't they?
You'd rank Bamber Bridge and Stafford maybe as a surprise in the season, but I think Gainsborough are not far behind. Yeah. I really feared for them. They started from scratch. They've got next to no Northern Premier League experience in the squad. Very, very young team. They've brought in loan players to help them along the way. At the moment, it's built on really solid form at home, and if they can continue that, it'll give them a great opportunity to stay up. And I do still think survival is their aim, even though they're 13th at the moment. Their away form is wretched, although they did just recently get their first points on the road. We'll have to see, but they're 4 unbeaten, so they're getting harder to turn over.
Acclimatise, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Tom Shaw will be made up.
How much do they need to sign Brad Grayson, though? That's been a big turning point for them at the same time, because again, just a little bit of Northern Premier League experience, a squad that's near enough Lincoln City Youth Academy, young players, it just shows again that little bit of quality in there. Not for like Northern Premier League experience, not saying the players have got aren't good enough, obviously, but they needed that more than anything, and again, it's starting to show up now.
Well, he looked like a fish out of water when he was at Grantham earlier in the season. He really did. It was a side not playing to his strengths, and I think the fit at Gainsborough is going to be much more to his liking, and it's showing with the performances and the results.
Another impressive manager. I mentioned Matt Hill, but
yeah, he speaks well,
very well. Mentioned goal scoring, Nantwich Town. 8 goals scored so far. It's
not great.
That's the where the problem is, isn't it, at the moment?
Not the defence.
Let's hope on Saturday. It's still 8.
The defence is all right. They've only conceded 12 goals.
They've gone back to very much back to basics in the past couple of weeks and gone back to, let's just start keeping some clean sheets. And they've done that in 3 of the past 4 games. They've kind of steadied the ship because they were on a really, really poor run. And actually, the last 2 games, you know, they sneaked a midweek win at Grantham and then followed up with a, let's face it, a surprise draw in the end at home to South Shields and kept a clean sheet in that game. That's a crumb of comfort for them, and it'll be interesting to see if they can push on from there. They didn't in the end play Gainsborough midweek because it was postponed, so that would have been interesting to see if they could build on the result on Saturday. Nantwich, listen, they're still nowhere near where they would expect to be, and there's a lot of work to do. There is some turnover of players going on there, so Dave Cook a couple of weeks ago did threaten he was going to start to make changes, and that is happening in both directions. He's released players and now he's trying to bring people in. Big month for Nantwich. They really need to climb the table.
I'm tempted to finish part two there and just do a fixture preview, because I don't really want to dwell on the teams who are in the lower third at this stage.
Well, you need to at least give them a
unless
mention.
There's people around the table who wish to speak at this point.
About
their teams
very
in the lower.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we'll do this. Let's start with
staggering. The average.
The average.
I was going to say it's probably worth mentioning.
Oh, 10th in the league, are you?
Yeah.
We've been in. Birke.
Hello.
Hyde United. In fact, before that, Atherton Coles.
Atherton
scored
Coles.
9, conceded 9. Boom.
What a
beautiful.
It's a symmetry.
It's just there, isn't it?
They've not played many league games this year, so it's a bit unfair to judge them, I think, because they've been on cup duties. But
moving on, let's go to a team who've played 12 right. games, which is more than enough to judge them. Hyde United.
Up and down, you cannot predict what's going to happen from one Hyde game to the next. However, I like to give it a go, and I do think that the Tigers will find their feet properly at some stage. This is,
aren't you playing Grantham in about 4 months' time? You got a prediction for that game?
Well, Hyde are away, so we'll lose.
And but, you won't be there.
It's fair enough to go through all that. I was at an away game last night, I'll have you know, Ben.
Hey, Witten does not count as...
I was.
The Charlatans are a Manchester band. They're from Norwich.
Yeah, I know. I know where they're from. As it, funnily enough, the singer from the Charlatans, good old Tim Burgess, he used to be in a band with the drummer from Placebo.
Indeed he did. And Tim Burgess actually isn't from Northwich. He actually is from Manchester.
How is Jim settling in?
Jim's still finding his feet at the club. He's still assessing the players. He's not done what we thought he might do and bring in a whole raft of new players. A couple have gone out. Tom Morris, he's landed on his feet at Macclesfield. I think it'll suit him there, back down in the North West Counties. He's more than capable of playing at Step 3. It's just he's not a Jim Gannon kind of player. His instinct is to play long balls, these raking 50, 60 yard diagonal passes, and that isn't a Jim Gannon kind of effect that he's going to be going for. However, he's trying to instill this short, sharp passing game, and whether he's got the players to do it or not, I don't know, but he's trying to teach him the techniques, and we're betwixt and between at the moment, as Simo saw last night.
Mikulova.
They had a really good start to the season and looked like they were going to be pushing on from where they left off.
Here's a question for you. Every manager's saying the same thing about injury worries and stuff like that, and you can't really tell who's got injuries and who hasn't at the
moment.
Everyone's
got.
Where it affects them the most. If it's a crucial injury, or if they're just lacking depth on the substitute bench, or that kind of thing.
Well, if you name four subs and one's a goalkeeper, you're struggling, aren't you?
Yeah. But my point I'm trying to make is, if you look at the form guide, anything below Buxton in six is a very topsy-turvy traffic light. Green, red.
It's a bit more prolonged for them, though. They've only won one of the past 10. They had a good start, and then it's really tailed off. Saw them a couple of weeks ago. Lots of things that you do expect from Mikulova. Played lovely football, kept possession for long periods, but didn't really have any oomph in the final three, which is quite surprising, because Stuart Bevan was playing and Declan Bacon came on, but it didn't really change the game.
Not once since Hyde United.
Yeah, that's when they were two key players had last year as well. So again, if they're not gelling, there's nothing there to him to really try and push forward with at the moment, as you said.
Have they reverted to type, though? I mean, he had a brilliant, curtailed season last season, the one where we've got 10 games in or whatever, but it's the old forms temporary thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
They're just finding the level again. Yeah. It just so happens to be that it's taking them half a dozen games of this season.
Speaking of finding levels, we spoke last week, Simo, about Witton Albion's form being that of a mid-table team all of a sudden. And is that still the sense?
Well, that was valid on Friday.
But then you beat Hyde United, don't you?
In smoke and pieces on Saturday night.
You beat Hyde on Tuesday.
And they got exactly the response that they were looking for on Tuesday, because everyone who was at the ground was looking to see how on earth do you respond to being embarrassed in the way that they were on Saturday by Grantham. And luckily for Carl McCauley, he got all the answers and probably more, because they actually played some quite nice football on Tuesday as well, and then hung on to what they had, which is something they've not done very often this season either. Listen, it's one game, but I think I tweeted this morning that over the past six games, Witten would actually be ninth in the table. So the problem that they've got, and this is very much true within the fan base, is that obviously the two glaring results against Matlock and Grantham have masked some actually quite good work underneath it for the past two, 3 weeks. He's starting to get players back. They've got quite a few home games in October. It is still a big month for them, but it wouldn't surprise me if the next time we do a monthly show, if they are much further up again.
Fully agree.
Morpeth Town, then. That takes us to Morpeth. I should say we're recording the show on Wednesday. Still no news.
It's the Steve Turnbull's assistant, whose name has escaped me, who's running it still at the moment. I don't know if he wants the job.
Did a good job on Tuesday night, taking on Radcliffe.
It's not just a Tuesday night game, it's a Saturday as well, in my opinion. I'll come to Morpeth quickly at the same time, but what great turnaround they've had at the moment. They're getting the players back themselves. Andrew Johnson, he's on fantastic form. He's one probably the best players in the league at this moment in time. And is he going to say the turning team's over at this moment in time? Last couple of weeks, again, it looks like they've been a completely different side, and it's coming through to the point where this is the Morpeth we saw at the start of 19, when they were pushing South Shields for potentially a playoff spot.
They're a long way from that, though, aren't they?
They are now at the moment, but again,
it's like we just said about Wayne. They're showing glimpses, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's green shoots.
Now, let's talk...
famous Simo rolled there.
Let's talk about the teams, because Morpeth are on 9 points.
Yeah.
Radcliffe are on 9 points. James.
Hello.
Radcliffe. 9 points. Got to send our best wishes to Lee Fowler. What next?
It's a difficult one to say at the moment with Radcliffe. Obviously, one or two fantastic performances. Again, not being to point out, the Witten Albion game, we played well. But it's been showing glimpses It's the same with Mosley in the FA Cup second qualifying round. Nantwich as well, 3-1, good result at the same time, but the performances haven't been inspiring, is the best way I can put it at this moment in time. And throughout September, it's just been getting more drained and drained.
There's been glimpses, though.
There's been some glimpses, but again, pointing out the FC game back in on Bank Holiday Monday, South Shields, and the two games against Morpeth are the ones that stand out the most. No disrespect to Earth Owls, he's done his best under the circumstances. He's tried to put the team in, it's just this season it's not worked for him.
Sending our best anyway.
No disrespect, Lee, if you're listening.
Good luck. What do we do? How long do we wait in our standard of football? It's going to be 20 games at least.
Yeah, what?
Because regardless of.
Especially this season where we're seeing teams. Basford, for example. I'm not suggesting every team down the bottom end is like Basford, but Basford were.
They didn't get there or thereabouts.
Yeah, no. But Berkey made a good point before, you know, a lot of the chatter around Stalybridge. What's going on here? And then 2.5 weeks later, three inspired loan signings.
Go back to injury lists and stuff like that, don't we? Yeah. So, Radcliffe, just today we recorded this on Wednesday. There might have been an announcement before the weekend, but we'll wait and see.
I mean, obviously, next Tuesday we've got Hyde, and Hyde don't like playing against new managers anyway, so.
Grantham Town are also down. I mean, this is the thing, though. They've got 9 points. They're only 3 points behind Mickleover and Witton Albion.
They've had a couple of good results in there.
So, I do have to say as well, they've got a victory coming up in a couple of weeks' time against FC United, I believe.
That's right. As predicted live on this show.
Yeah.
Grantham play a kind of football that, all right, it's not necessarily easy on the eye, but it's basic. The players know what they have to do. You can't get confused playing the kind of football that Grantham are playing at the moment. However, Calum Palmer, he's got oodles of experience. He knows he can get more out of this team. And remember, he's got a side there who, the majority of them, they're very young. They've come from the equivalent of the North West Counties League. Eastern Counties. Yeah. Who were playing at Step 3 on merit. You know, it's kind of like Step 5 All-Stars side almost. But they're just still finding the feet at this
level. A bit like Gainsborough, essentially.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, they're going to get the odd spanking. Yeah, but they're also going to cause a few upsets like they're going to do in a couple of weeks' time
against
at Broadhurst
Park. And finally, Ashton United. This is a surprise of the season so far, isn't it?
It's a surprise to everybody. Absolutely everybody, whether you're at Hurst Cross or elsewhere. They won the opening day against Matlock, of all teams, who...
Remember them?
I'm going to go into Teagot mode now and say it just goes to show anyone can beat anyone in this division. But they've not won since. 10 games without a win. However, they've only lost by more than one goal once. They are a really, really difficult side to beat. It's just, if you're going to beat them, it's going to be by one goal. This doesn't make sense.
They're a difficult team to beat. Except when they do get beat, but they only get beat by one goal. And that's because they can't score. That's because they don't score more than one goal in their game. That's why they've drawn 5 games.
That was my shorthand version of that.
At the same time, you'll see the teams they've drawn against.
Go on then.
Point against Buxton, point against South Shields.
Yep. Basically, they've taken points off all the top three.
They will be very disappointed to find themselves bottom of the table. That is not where they expected to be at all this season. And all, you're right, they're not adrift.
Yeah.
But they can't. They just can't buy a win. You're right. They might be narrow defeats, but it's not changed yet going into October. They've tried to shuffle the pack by bringing in Jordan Hume, and he might be. How many times tonight have we talked about loan signings being a spark for clubs?
He could be inspired.
It could be. And let's see. You know, that could be what gives them the.
And he's not just done it in this division, he's done it in the division either.
But they did expect Jack Redshaw to be that player, and it's not worked out at all.
He's gone to Chester.
And he's gone to Chester, so we'll see.
Well, the good news is, dear listener, that this is only September's MPL show. There's still a long way to go. Aren't we all thankful? October, such highlights to come as October's show, November's, the Christmas special. Who remembers the Christmas special yesteryear? Just before we move on, just a quick round the table for fixtures this Saturday. Dead quick. Atherton against Matlock.
Home win.
Really?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Really?
I'm absolutely serious. It's going to be fighting fire with fire there, and I think Coles will do it.
Coles rested as well.
That would be, what would that be? That would be played 10, scored 10? Is that what
yeah,
we're
1-0,
going
yeah.
With?
Yeah, okay.
FC United against Nantwich Town.
Draw.
Draw. Any
home win.
Okay, Gainsborough Trinity against Ashton United.
Home win.
Home win.
Draw.
Grantham Town against Bamber Bridge.
Away win.
Home win.
Shut
I'm
up.
I am going to say this will be a 1-0 win potentially. If
not, it's not going to be.
Hyde United against Lancaster.
Home win.
0-0.
Away win.
What? Home win. Home
away
win.
Win.
Mickleover against Morpeth Town. Oh, that's a.
Away win.
Away win.
Maybe big game for Morpeth and Mickleover, that one.
Yeah. It is.
Radcliffe against Buxton.
Away win.
Away win.
Game of the weekend, South Shields against Basford.
Ooh.
Absolutely game of the weekend. Yeah. 1-0 draw. Score draw.
Stafford Rangers against Scarborough Athletic.
Stafford big win.
Big game for Scarborough, I think.
I think a draw there.
I think Scarborough could back and win that game.
Warrington against Stalybridge.
Ooh. A few weeks ago, that'd have been nailed on home win, wouldn't it?
Six travelling to seventh. The winner could be in the playoffs on Saturday at 5 o'clock.
I'm saying Stalybridge are going to win that game. They are on a roll. They're scoring not one or two goals. They're scoring 3, 4, 5 goals. They're on a roll.
Yeah, you're right, Swamps. Yeah. And to be fair, Warrington, they're conceding a fair few at the moment too. And yeah, it gets me better judgement. Yeah, I'm going to say Stalybridge.
Finally, the W Derby, the famous W Derby.
Not a derby.
Whitby against Witton.
0-0.
Thank you for joining us. Right, so that's the end of September's edition of the Pitching In NPL
Benjamin,
show.
Benjamin, a big in fairness,
ever there was going to be a goalless draw
in the wind.
Yeah,
it's 3-0 to Wisden. Sorry, to Wimbledon.
Oh, 3-0.
Sorry,
stinging the tail,
Mr. Simo.
Yes,
it's amazing how he scored 4 out of any strikers last night. I mean, I know you did nominally have 2 centre forwards.
There's just a row of broken hamstrings on the floor in
yeah,
Charles'
pretty
office.
Much.
A big thank you to James Hayes for joining us this month. Big thank you to Burke.
Cheers, man.
Big thank you to Swamper.
Cheers.
He enjoyed it, really.
And a big thank you to Simo.
Thank you.
And a big thank you as well, obviously, to the Magnet.
Are we back here next month, or are we going back to...
Swampy's got a plan. But that's it for the Pitching In NPL show. Big thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next month. Bye bye.